Welcome to the Studying the Bible podcast, where every Thursday, Pastors Dylan Dodson and Brian Androsian study a book of the Bible, verse by verse, to see what is being communicated and how we can use it to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We pray that today's podcast can help you grow just a little bit closer to Christ.
Well, welcome to our fifth session on our study through the book of Galatians. Today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. So just to give a little recap of chapter 2, in chapter 2, what we saw the confrontation between Paul and Cephas, or Peter. What we saw is that Peter was eating with the Gentiles until these, what Paul calls the circumcision people, or those that wanted the Gentiles to conform to the Jewish law, showed up. And then he stopped eating with the Gentiles. So he was eating with the Gentiles and then withdrew from it when people who were kind of putting pressure on him to not do that showed up. And Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, that if we're followers of Jesus, we have to die to our old way of life. And he ends the chapter by saying that if righteousness comes from following the law, then essentially Christ died for nothing. If Jesus dying was to bring us a possibility of salvation, a possibility to be with God in his kingdom, then if following the law is still required to make that happen, then essentially Jesus died for nothing because his death didn't accomplish that. Which Paul is saying, obviously, that's not true. And Paul is strongly arguing that we no longer are required to live under the law. And the reason for that is because of Jesus' death. That Jesus is what offers salvation. Jesus is what offers forgiveness, not the Torah. So today we're going to pick up in chapter 3, starting in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And Paul writes this. He writes, "You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard?" So the Galatians knew in vivid detail about the crucifixion. Paul would have described it to them in great detail, and this is a form of execution that they would have been familiar with. And Paul is saying that you know about Jesus' crucifixion. You know that these things happen. You know this to be true. This isn't news to you. This is something you already know. He says, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Obviously, the answer is not by works of the law, since they were never taught to be under the law in the first place. And Paul is saying that if you received the Spirit based on what you heard and believed about Jesus, then why would you listen to those that are now telling you to come under the law? If this didn't apply to you before, then why do you think it applies to you now? If you always believed that you were saved by Jesus' death, that his death is what brought the possibility of salvation, and you were never under the law before, then what changed? Why would you think you have to be under the law now? He continues in verses 3 and 4. He says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing?" See, the Galatians had undergone persecution, and Paul is asking, is what you went for nothing? Was what you went for nothing, the persecution that you experienced? You began your walk with Jesus by the Spirit, but you're now going to finish your walk with Jesus by worrying about the flesh. This doesn't make sense. But by just worrying about following the Torah, is that what you plan to do? Is that what you're doing here? Was the persecution that you experienced for following Jesus by faith alone pointless and for nothing? Or was it just for you to abandon your faith now? Like, did you go through all this before for no reason? Just to walk away from it now and try and experience salvation by coming under the laws of the Torah? See, Paul is getting right to the point here, and he's emphasizing how big of a deal this is. It continues in verse 5. It says, "So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law, or is it by believing what you heard?" So Paul's kind of asking these obvious rhetorical questions that the Gentiles knew the answers to. He's kind of dumbing everything down for them and making it as simple to understand as possible, and makes it easy for us to understand as well. Did God work miracles among you because you were doing works of the law? Obviously not, because they hadn't been doing works of the law. They hadn't been under the law before. So these miracles that they experienced, this work that God had worked in their community and in their lives that they experienced before, obviously it wasn't because they were under the law, because they weren't under the law. They were uncircumcised. They weren't living under the law. So Paul's basically saying, look at what God has done for you before so far, and yet you haven't been under the law. So why would you think that has to change? You've obviously experienced Christ. He's been working in the community, working in the church. Why do you think you need to change for that to continue? Paul's almost saying, like, you're not making any sense. This doesn't line up. This, what you've experienced before without being under the law, why would you think you have to come under the law to continue experiencing it? Then in verse 6, he says, just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. So Paul is here, he's bringing Abraham into the picture, and what he's doing is he's quoting Genesis 15:6, almost verbatim. In Genesis 15:6, it says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So what's happening here in Genesis is that Abraham was complaining to the Lord that he had no heir, and in turn, God promises Abraham that he'll have a son of his own from whom will bring this large, uncountable family. And in response to that promise, Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, Abraham wasn't under the law, and yet his belief was counted to him as righteousness. And Paul is making the same point to the Galatians. Those that believe in God, have faith in Jesus, are brought into God's family, not just those that are under the law. He continues in verse 7. He says, you know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Those who believe and have faith are considered in Abraham's family, and thus they're in God's family. And this is not restricted to those of Jewish descent or those that live under the law. All those that have faith are now considered Abraham's sons. He continues in 8 and 9. He says, now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaimed the gospel ahead of the time of Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. See, when Paul mentions scripture here, he's talking about the section of Genesis and how even then God was planning to justify the Gentiles by faith. God didn't promise Abraham that only the Jews or only those that followed the law would be in his family, but that all nations would be blessed through him. Those that have faith are blessed and accepted into God's family, just like it was with Abraham. Then continues in 10 and 11. It says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. So what's happening here is Paul is bringing in the book of Deuteronomy, but he's making kind of an opposite point here. So in Deuteronomy 27, chapter 27, verse 26, it says, anyone who does not put these words of the law into practice is cursed. Now, Paul is using these words to make the opposite point now. Because of Jesus, those that rely on the works of the law are under a curse. On the flip side of what it says in Deuteronomy. Now that Jesus has come, you know, what Deuteronomy said was true at the time, was true for a period of time. But now that Jesus has come, nobody is justified before God by the law. But the righteous will live by faith. Then he continues in verse 12. He says, but the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. So Paul is bringing in the original purpose of the law by quoting Leviticus. He's quoting a lot of Old Testament here. And in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, which Paul is quoting, it says, keep my statutes and ordinances. A person will live if he does them. I am the Lord. So this was the original purpose of the law and the original command regarding it. However, Paul continues in verse 13 with why we no longer live under law. So in Leviticus, it told us the original purpose of the law, but now Paul is going to continue here in a second with why we are no longer required to live under the law. In verse 13, Paul writes, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. However, Christ saved us from the curse of living outside the law by becoming a curse for us. Paul is referencing Deuteronomy 21:23 here, where it says that anyone who hung on a tree is under God's curse. See, Jesus took that curse for us. He took that curse that's talked about in Deuteronomy for us so that we could experience salvation and life with God. As we close out this section in verse 14, Paul finishes this section by saying, the purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. See, Jesus died to bring salvation to all people, not just those under the law. He took the curse of the law and the curse of our sin upon himself so that we could experience life with him by faith alone, not by our own works. So Paul is hammering this point home in this section, saying it's not by your works, it's not by you following the law, it's not by you having to do these certain things, but you are saved through Christ alone. That Jesus' death is what brings salvation, the possibility of salvation, not anything you do, not your works. Not that works are unimportant, but that's not what brings us to Christ, or not what brings us to God. It's Jesus that gives us the opportunity to go to God. So as we finish this section today, I want to give us three takeaways, as we do every week, that we can see in this first section of Galatians chapter 3. And the first thing is this. It's that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. There is no other option. There aren't many roads that lead to Christ, but Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Not through our works, not through us trying, but through him alone. Because of him coming, dying a death on a cross for our sin, for yours and for mine, now we have a possibility of salvation. That we don't have to do this laundry list of things. There aren't certain laws that we have to keep in order to be considered in God's family. But it's because of Jesus' death that we have an opportunity to be a part of God's family. It's not through anything we do, but it's entirely through what Jesus did. Jesus is the only way. Second thing we can see here is that Jesus took the curse that we deserve. Jesus came as a sinless person and died the death that we deserve so that ultimately we wouldn't have to. See, Jesus didn't simply die, but he faced complete separation from God. Jesus experienced something that we can't understand, and he did this for no other reason than for love, to save you and to save me from our sins and allow us to have access to God's family. See, Jesus coming and dying, it's not just the fact that he died as if we're talking about a person that just died, and it's unfortunate, but death is a part of life, and so that's just kind of the way things are. But he died this horrible, horrific, gruesome death, but he also faced separation from God, where God turned his back on him. And that's a separation that he had never experienced before, and that's a separation that we can't understand in our lives. We can't fully grasp what that means or what that was like in that moment. But Jesus came and took the curse that we deserved. He died a death that we deserve, so ultimately we could experience life with God through him. Jesus took the curse that we deserve. Then the last thing we see from this section is that we are powerless to save ourselves. We are completely and utterly powerless to save ourselves. We may know that on an intellectual level. I think I can say that, and most people, if you're a follower of Christ, yes, I know that. But how often do we try and earn our favor with God? Obviously, we should live moral lives and live in ways that are pleasing to God. Obviously, that's true. There's many things that we should do and ways that we should go about our lives that are pleasing to God. But we don't live this way to try and earn our favor with him or to earn our salvation. We should do these things because of what Christ did for us. And so we want to live in a way that reflects that. We don't do these things as a way to earn God's favor and hopefully earn our way into his kingdom. That's not how it works. We are powerless to save ourselves. We live in this way in a response for what God has done for us. In other words, we should live moral lives. We should live a way that's pleasing to God, not because we have to get certain things, but because we want to in response to what he did for us. So we are absolutely powerless to save ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that we don't have to save ourselves. The good news is that Jesus came and died this death that we deserve, that he didn't deserve, so that we could experience salvation, so that we could experience his grace. And if it was up to us to save ourselves, we would all be completely doomed. But the good news, we are powerless to save ourselves, but God never asked us to save ourselves. He sent his son to die this death for us so that we could ultimately experience life in him. We are powerless to save ourselves. And that's what we see today in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14.